Morning, beloved of God. Welcome to Mission Sunday at Harrison Hills. What a glorious opportunity we've been given this morning to have our hearts reoriented toward the glory of God in missions. In Matthew 28, just prior to Christ's ascension, he gave us what we all know as the Great Commission. Christ commanded those he has saved to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And of course, this command to make disciples by means of baptizing and teaching is one given to each one of us. And even as we look further to Acts 1, there we're given even further revelation of the power source of the Great Commission, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And there Christ gives us the scope of his commission as well, that you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, that means our hometowns, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and in all Judea and Samaria, that can mean our state and our country. And for some, God has set aside to go even to the end of the earth. It is our great joy and honor to welcome the Bokenkamp family with us this morning. Kirk and his wonderful wife, Lisa, and their incredible children. God has called this dear family to serve him in joyous obedience to our Lord's highest command in the Great Commission. Well, it's been my great joy to get to know Kirk and now his family as they prepare to be sent as ambassadors for the King. They have incredible testimony, life, and vision to share with us today. So with that, Kirk, your family, will you please come?
Good morning, dear brothers and sisters here at Harrison Hills. It is a pleasure and honor to be here with you this morning to be able to talk about this glorious commission that we've all been given because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to start by saying thank you. It is such an honor and privilege to be here to present this wonderful mission that God is allowing to happen in Mexico. But I also want to share that your commitment to the Word of God is a testimony, and I'm thankful for that. The Sunday school set up with Answers in Genesis so that there can be generational faithfulness as families learn the Word of God together. And finally, that we're here on Missions Sunday just shows us that this heart of the church is in the right place, and you are seeking to honor Christ in all that you do. So thank you for allowing us the privilege to be here. Again, my name is Kirk Bokenkamp. I'm actually an elder over at Cordon Baptist Church, and this is my sweet wife, Lisa. And we are here to just give you a quick overview of the ministry over in Mexico. And then once we're done with that, I'd love to open up the Word with you as we complete our time together today. So we are being called to serve over in Baja California, which is a state in Mexico right underneath of California. So, and we have been called by God's grace to help with reaching, discipling, and training the indigenous people of Mexico for the work of planting churches in that region and beyond, as you'll see. So Northern Light Ministries, which is the organization that we're connected with, they began in 2003. These are the founders here, Don and Eileen Nagel. They actually started their work in Alaska. They had a heart to reach the indigenous of Alaska, hence Northern Light Ministries. But the Lord had other plans because of their severe reactions and allergies to the mold and mildew in that region. So the Lord brought them to a more neutral place, a more calm environment for their allergies in the deserts of Mexico. And so these are some of the indigenous people there that they serve. And they have a heart that they would come to know our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The beauty of this region in which we have been called to serve is the way in which the migrant workers are brought to this region. So the poor migrant areas where the indigenous people come to work these fields is in southern Mexico, actually in Oaxaca. And you'll hear later about our connection with the people of Oaxaca. These are very difficult people groups to reach. And the reason for that is because they are so insulated to the outside culture. They have approximately 100, over 100 different languages in that particular state. And so each tribe has their own language and their own customs, and they shun outsiders. They make it very difficult. But the beauty of serving here in Baja California is you have people from these tribes and these villages coming to the San Quintin Valley to work the fields because it's very profitable for them. There is a very large agricultural business that takes place there. And so these workers who would normally be very close to the gospel, very close to outsiders speaking to them, are now open because they've been taken out of their cultural context, they've been taken out of their familial context, and now there's an opportunity for the gospel to go forth. It is an incredible sight when you're there looking out over the fields. It truly is. The fields are white for harvest. You stand on one of the hillsides and you look out. There are so many greenhouses covering the fields that it literally looks like the land is flooded because of all the workers that go out. In fact, as we were coming home from this mission, there were approximately 150 school buses that we counted taking workers out to the field that morning. So the opportunity is astounding. And this is an example of the wisdom of serving in this way. So these are two church planters here, Sinan and Bernadita. They came from the state of Oaxaca to the fields to work as migrant workers in that region. And during that time, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they came to faith in him. And through this ministry, Sinan was actually trained at the seminary they've already established in that region. So he received a 3-year certificate level education in the Word of God so that he would be prepared to go back to his people and serve them. And that's exactly what they've done. They've returned back to Oaxaca. They were gone from that region for 7 years, and it's very interesting. They couldn't just go right back in and start serving and interacting with their fellow tribesmen. They actually had to go through a process of being reintegrated back into the tribe. They had lost trust and credibility because they had been gone for 7 years. So they were consigned to do community service, if you will, for those 7 years in order to earn back the right to be part of the tribe and speak to their people again. But the Lord used that because through their service throughout the community, he allowed them to connect with people in the tribe, and the Lord has been drawing them to himself through those interactions. And so they have planted a church in Oaxaca and are in the process of starting another church in a nearby tribe. This is incredible because one of the missionaries we work with spoke with other missionaries who had been in Oaxaca for 42 years, and they had only seen 3 converts, and 2 of those were from a different state. So you see how almost impenetrable the defenses are of these tribesmen unless one of their own comes to them with the gospel. And so this couple has been doing the work of planting churches and seeing many come to Christ. Oops, excuse me.
And it is incredible to see that these unreached people in Mexico are responding as they hear the gospel. As of today, there are about 12 different churches that have been planted both in the Baja and in Oaxaca, and there are 4 family groups developing currently as well. And in 2020, NLM, Northern Light Ministries, had the goal of planting 8 churches in 5 years. And as of now, 6 have been planted, and it looks like at least two more will be planted by year 2025, which is very encouraging. And here is the Baja Bible Seminary that Kirk mentioned. It was founded in 2011. It's a three-year certificate level program. Many of the pastors from the first graduating class are now full-time pastors. They are working in the ministry, their own churches. It's amazing. And this gentleman here you'll see on your right, Ramon Ross, he oversees the seminary, and he is an incredible person. He's kind of like Paul in the New Testament. He's a Paul to the pastors. So he oversees all of their ministries. He's the one that they go to if they need counsel, help, prayer. Just a vibrant brother in the Lord.
And I just want to add how hardworking these people are that go through the Baja Bible Seminary. They're out in the fields working 12 hours a day. They go home, eat some dinner, get cleaned up, come back to the seminary, and they're in class for 4 hours, four times a week, for 3 years. That is the sacrifice and effort they must put forth to be equipped and trained for the work that God has called them to do. So we are privileged and honored to have the opportunity to be able to serve people like this.
So how did our family become involved with all of this? Almost 3 years ago, we became acquainted with many Mexican people from the restaurant El Nopal in Corydon. And it was through actually our homestead efforts. We found out that we could actually ask some restaurants if they would save food scraps every day, and El Nopal was willing to do that for us to feed our pigs. We had four pigs. And amazingly, for 6 months, the Lord provided food every single day for our pigs. And through that, going into the kitchen of El Nopal, meeting several of the workers, meeting almost the entire staff over that period of time, using our translation app on our phones, we began to get to know these men and these women and hear their stories. And we started inviting them over to our home, and we would share a meal together and just ask what their stories were. And you know, they're incredible. They're really very, very, very incredible stories. Through many of these interactions, we had birthday celebrations with them. They would come over to our home for the last two Christmases. A couple years ago, we had almost 20 of them in our home, and we celebrated Jesus's birthday, and were able to share the nativity story in Spanish with them, and share the gospel, of course. So through all of these interactions, we've been sharing Christ, and the Lord has just been gracious to do that. Here are some of the photos. Kirk playing basketball with Marcos. Marcos loves basketball. And these are a couple of the Christmas photos here in our home.
Easter services too.
Yes, yes. And then the last couple Easters as well, many of them, they're working. You know, the restaurant opens at noon on Sunday, but we wanted to bring them Easter. And so we put together an Easter service, and we brought that to them in the restaurant before they opened. This last Easter, Kirk preached a sermon, and we had it translated, and the kids and I, we sang some Spanish worship songs. Just beautiful to see how the Lord is working. So yes, okay, so same call, but different people group. So the Lord actually called our family to foreign missions a couple of years ago, confirming that, but through a conversation that we had recently at the end of this last year with my parents as they came to visit, we knew that we were called to the people of Mexico. And you would think after almost 3 years of interacting with our friends from El Nopal that that would have clicked, but it really, the Lord had to open our eyes to it. So it was very exciting. We were introduced to Northern Light Ministries in late 2023. And then this last March, our family went on a vision trip to the Baja.
And here are a few pictures from our trip there. So there are a lot of different volcanic mountains there for us, and we love to hike. So this is us on top of one of them. There are also deadly poisonous rattlesnakes along the way. So be careful when you hike. This is one of the missionaries, Dwight, getting ice creams for our kids. They do have coffee shops there. We are from the Northwest, so we know that we will be able to survive in Mexico. The Lord is gracious and good. And down here is a picture of Los Pinos. This is one of the incredible plants there where all this agriculture is brought and processed and shipped quite a bit of it up north to California along the West Coast. and kids playing here at the beach. The site where we'll be serving is about 3 miles from the beach, so we would love to have you come and join us there. Here are a few more pictures at the beach and some of the seafood, and one of the pastors here, Esteban, teaching our children how to prepare clams. Quite an amazing adventure the Lord allowed us to have there. One thing I do want to make you aware of, in addition to our gospel efforts there, I am actually a registered nurse here in the state of Indiana. I work at a local hospital. And so part of our mission and service to the people, particularly in the churches themselves, will be medical care and just helping with issues. This little girl here was having pretty severe allergic reactions. The parents were not even aware of Benadryl and how that would help their child. So a great opportunity to be able to practically serve our brothers and sisters in that region.
And this was a really sweet opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. And the kids and I did this. We prepared some gospel bracelets, and the gospel was translated into Spanish, of course. And you'll see here in the front row is Cynthia. We'll talk about her in a minute. But she translated for us. And the children were so attentive and receptive, great listeners, and they all had some extra bracelets to give to their friends as they interacted with them. So that was a neat opportunity.
Other work that we were participating in was helping construct the churches. The churches are bunched really closely to one another, and the reason for that is because of the culture there. It's interesting, but every couple blocks there's a new grocery store. Communities there are centered around being able to walk to wherever they're going to go. And so the churches need to be close to one another in order to accommodate the different neighborhoods. And so we were helping to construct one of the new church buildings. A lot of them are constructed where they have a parsonage on the bottom and the worship center on top. And so these pastors, I just can't share enough the beauty of their heart for the people in these neighborhoods. From day one, even before the church has been constructed, they start combing these neighborhoods, going door to door, sharing the gospel, discipling those who don't understand what it means to follow Christ, and allowing the work of the gospel to go forth and for people to come and be fed. It is truly a beautiful model. And so there are several of these buildings in the region, I believe about six in the area where we will be serving. And like I said, hopefully many more in the future as the Lord continues his work in that area.
We had some really neat opportunities to spend time with the local people, with the churches and their families. And the boys played football, soccer, and had fellowship meals. And we had more time at the ocean. It was actually just one day, but it was a highlight, definitely, of the trip. This beautiful older lady here, she was teaching our girls bordado, which is a stitchery, a real ancient kind of Mexican handcraft that was really special, and they put tortillas in those. And this sweet family here, Pastor Arturo and Luz Maria, they are just an incredible light for Christ. They have, the church that you actually saw being built is their church. And just recently, we received some really exciting news. After we returned home from our trip, we were asked to pray for this very young mother. Her name is Samantha. She had just given birth to her first baby, Jared, and he had multiple stomach issues, and nobody knew what was going on. The doctors didn't know how to help him. He underwent several surgeries. I think it was a fourth surgery. Finally, the Lord provided healing. He allowed little Jared to take in his milk and to start growing again. And so we just rejoiced at that great news. But in the meantime, after, you know, as all this is going on, Luz Maria is sharing the gospel with Samantha, and she's reminding her of the hope that she can have in Christ, and that this life is not everything there is. And so we were praying for Samantha's salvation. And just this last week, we received news that Samantha has received Christ. It's a huge praise.
These are some of the missionaries who are currently serving in the region, and Mike and Cecilia Palm, and Dwight and Sarah Hires, and sister of Sarah Joanne, just delightful, faithful people who have a lot of times had careers before this point and have decided to spend their waning years serving the Lord, spending out their years furthering the kingdom of God. And it's just a delight to be around them and experience their joy for this work.
And here again is Cynthia. So Cynthia Villa is from Oaxaca, and she is going to be our Spanish teacher. And we met her because of her aunt and uncle who live in Tennessee. And last year we thought, on our way down to Alabama to see Kirk's side of the family, we thought maybe in Nashville there would be this little espresso machine, you know, Facebook Marketplace, good deal on that. So we found a tiny little one, and it was sold by her aunt and uncle, and the Lord used them and this friendship we had been developing over the year to introduce us to Cynthia, who was in Oaxaca, desiring to be a missionary, but not sure where the Lord was going to send her. We spoke with her and did not know, but the Lord was doing an incredible work this whole time and ended up having her come to the Baja at the same time we were able to. So she loves the kids. We all love her so much. She's going to be a really sweet part of the ministry as well. Yeah.
And then finally, these are different ways in which we see the Lord using us in this area, obviously coming alongside the pastors and helping them in their outreach efforts and evangelism, as well as discipling and mentoring a lot of these pastors. Even though they've been through the training at the Baja Bible Seminary, they're new Christians. And they're trying to train new Christians, and there are a lot of challenges that come with that. Also, my focus here at the Southern Seminary, as I'm working through my MDiv degree, is in biblical counseling. I have a heart and passion to see the Word of God applied rightly in the lives of His people, and so we want to come alongside them and help in that way. Once I'm proficient in the language, I hope and pray and look forward to teaching at the seminary, as well as coordinating many U.S. churches that are already a part of this network and coming to serve in that area. We would love to have a group from Harrison Hills join us there as well, and just continued prayer and encouragement for our brothers and sisters in that area.
Next, we'd like to just share a few of the stories from this time that we had. This is a young man, Alberto. He's from Tijuana. He grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, actually, and he was just walking along the street one Sunday morning outside the El Papalote Church, and he heard beautiful singing, and he just wanted to know what was going on. So he came inside the church, sat through the whole service. The pastor Javier and his wife Sarah invited him to dinner, and that was the night that we were there at their home for dinner. So Alberto comes in and they do just some general exchanges, and then Javier and Sarah just start right in on the gospel, and we know enough Spanish to know it was the gospel. And yes, Alberto knew enough English that we were able to share our testimonies as well. Kirk and I were. And so the Lord was just doing something very wonderful at the table there. Yep, Alberto received a Bible later from Sarah. And then the next church service that we went to, Alberto came forward after the sermon and the gospel was preached clearly. Pastors are praying over him there. And we heard that he has been faithfully in discipleship every week since this point. So keep praying for Alberto.
Story with you. Many years ago, they came from Baja, came to the Baja from Oaxaca to sell vegetables and earn money for them and their two daughters. One day, Alejandrina received devastating news that she had cancer. But during that time, the Lord saved them in the church they had been attending. Although they were thrilled to know Christ, they soon realized that they were in a church that didn't teach sound doctrine. In God's providence, they met Don and Eileen Nagel from Northern Light Ministries, who introduced them to Pastor Javier and his wife, Isabel. And the four of them began studying the Bible together. Diego and Alejandrina applied to Baja Bible Seminary, where she received her very first formal education ever. They now attend Pastor Javier's church faithfully. Many of their family members do as well. And by God's kindness, Alejandrina was healed of her cancer. Please pray for them as they desire to see more people come to faith in Christ.
And this is Liz. Liz is a sweet 11-year-old girl whom we met at Pastor Esteban and his wife Evie's church, Colonia Ortiz. Her parents work hard in the fields all day and come home late at night. She and her family are poor and live in a plastic house. In order to get to church, Liz walks by herself several times a week. What I noticed was her hunger to hear the gospel and know Jesus. Her smile and joy are contagious, even though she, at such a young age, has experienced a difficult life by our standards. Now, her grandmother and her two brothers are joining her in attending Colonia Ortiz and are hearing the word of God. Please pray that Liz and her family would come to know Jesus.
Luke 24:24-46-48 says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things."
Beautiful. Well, we just want to thank you for your time and your enthusiasm for missions. If you're wondering how you can become more intimately involved in what the Lord is doing down there, I just invite you to come and grab one of these cards from our table out there, and on it you'll see here that first of all, we covet your prayers. We desire your faithful prayers for us, because without prayers, without the work of the Spirit, this work is done in vain. And so please be faithfully praying for us and for the people that we are serving in that area. There's also a sign up here for Epistle. That'll be the way in which we keep you updated with the goings-on of our ministry and the ministry there in Baja. And then if you'd like to partner with us, there is a little QR code for you to join in partnership with us in that way. So please come and visit us after the service. We'd love to talk with you more. And so with that, I would love to just open up the Word of God with you. So please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And we will be starting at verse 35. And if you would, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I am reading from the ESV. "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, please guide and direct our hearts and minds to understand what you would have us see of you and your desire for us. Lord, we belong to you. We are your servants and we are listening. Guide us in living out this great call that you have on our lives for your glory and through your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Before beginning, I just want to again say it's a great honor and privilege to look at this passage with you today. And before we start diving into the specifics, I want to give you a little bit of background as far as what's been happening in Matthew's gospel prior to this passage. In the early chapters of Matthew, Jesus is presented as a long-awaited Messiah who fulfilled the prophecy spoken of him long ago. Jesus is also declared to be the beloved Son with whom the Father is well pleased. He also demonstrates himself to be the true Israel by rebuffing every temptation of Satan while remaining perfectly faithful and obedient to the Father. Jesus begins his ministry by proclaiming the gospel, calling his disciples, and preaching the Sermon on the Mount, which reveals Jesus as the fulfillment of the law and describes a new spirit-empowered law written on the hearts of those belonging to the kingdom of God. Afterward, Jesus demonstrates his power over the kingdom of darkness by reversing the effects of the curse. We see that through his healings, through casting out demons, and raising the dead. As we come to our passage today, we see that the kingdom of God has arrived in Jesus Christ, our conquering King. He is preparing to send out his disciples to continue the kingdom work he has begun. And so through studying this passage today, I want us to be encouraged to be more effective and faithful ambassadors for the kingdom of God as we look at Jesus' actions and his command for us in this passage. So specifically, we need to see Jesus' all-consuming commission at work in his life. We need to feel his heartfelt compassion for those who are lost. And we need to hear his call to have a rightly placed confidence in order for us to fulfill this kingdom call. So remember, as we're going through, commission, compassion, and confidence. And let us look at verse 35. In verse 35, we see Jesus' all-consuming commission. Jesus has a singular focus in mind as he is fulfilling the work that he is doing, and that is to accomplish all that the Father has set out for him to do. If you look at chapter 4 in verse 23 in the same gospel, you'll notice that it is almost identical to 9:35. And why is this? Why was Matthew inspired to write it this way? Well, I believe what he is showing us is that Jesus had been called to accomplish a mission, and Jesus was going to fulfill that mission at all costs. Nothing was going to stand in his way from doing what the Father had called him to do. He is preaching the good news of the gospel to all that would hear. He is healing every disease and affliction. And his unwavering conviction to accomplish the Father's will should come as no surprise to us as we look at the Gospels, because Jesus had told us that this was his desire from the beginning. Think about passages such as these. John 4:34. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And Luke 22:42, as Jesus is praying in the garden, what does he say? "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus had an unstoppable desire to fulfill the commission that the Father had given him. But you may ask, well, what has he been commissioned to do? Well, that is also made very clear throughout the Gospels as well. Think about these passages and meditate on these in your heart. The Son of God, why did he come to this planet? Mark 10:45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And one of my favorites, John 6:40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The life of Jesus was characterized by obedience to the commands of the Father, and this conviction caused him to seek and to save the lost tirelessly so that those whom the Father was calling would come to him and Jesus would fulfill his mission. And so, brothers and sisters, we, like Jesus, have been given a commission as well. And Pastor Adam beautifully shared that with us before we began this study. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And like so many other things that were important with Jesus' teachings, he didn't just state this one time, but he repeated it over and over. Pastor Adam shared also Acts 1:8. Is another example of this commission. John 20:21, as Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And Luke 24:44-49, "Then he said to them," again after the resurrection, "these are the words that I spoke to you while I am still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you are witnesses of these things as well. Let us have this all-encompassing mission in mind as we serve our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 36, because this is a part of Jesus that is often overlooked as we think about his ministry here on earth, but it is his heartfelt compassion for the people. This is not a casual sympathy that's being described here. In fact, if you look at the Strong's definition of this word, this compassion, one way it's translated is bowels yearned. And I know that sounds really strange to us in this day and age, but that just simply means that Jesus was stirred to the core of who he was, and he was compelled to act upon that desire. And so Jesus was so deeply stirred in his heart to rescue and heal this sheep that it was impossible for him to not act. Jesus, the good shepherd, sees the sheep are harassed and helpless. And understand, when Matthew uses this language of sheep and shepherd, this imagery, he's hearkening back to several references of this throughout Scripture, Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34, and John 10. And he's showing us that Jesus sees beyond the outward appearance. He is looking at the hearts of the people. He's looking at their souls. And he has seen that they're harassed and helpless. They have not been cared for. Jesus shows that the shepherds of Israel have not done their job. These sheep have not been fed. They have been attacked by the wolves, and Jesus must act to rescue his sheep. He will not stand for his sheep to be mistreated like this anymore. Brothers and sisters, as you consider your own hearts before God and the compassion you have for the lost, think about the ways in which Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has been good to you. If you belong to him, you've been regenerated by his Spirit. You've been adopted as a child of the Father. You have been assigned a faithful under-shepherd who feeds you and nourishes you the Word of God and protects you from the wolves. Do you have this desire within you to see these blessings shared with those around you who don't know Christ, who are harassed and helpless and have no hope in this world? Are you calling out to the Good Shepherd that he would give you this compassion and desire for the people around you so that they would be saved from everlasting torment and have life in the name of Christ? We need to see Jesus' heartfelt compassion and beg him for the same heart as we look to those around us. And finally, brothers and sisters, let's look at the last couple verses here in this passage, verses 37 and 38. And we need to have a rightly placed confidence, right? Notice Jesus' instructions to the disciples as the crowds are approaching. He does not call them to direct their gaze inward to see if they have what it takes to serve the crowd. He doesn't direct their gaze outward to see if they have enough resources for the crowd coming. He directs their gaze upward to the Lord of the harvest. He calls them to cry out to God. Why is this? Doesn't this seem counterintuitive when there's work to be done? Why would we start in prayer? Why must any outreach begin with prayer? Well, the answer is simple. Regeneration is a work of God, specifically the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to open our eyes to the harvest around us so that we're even aware of the harvest. We need him to remind us of the Great Commission and renew our commitment to what he has called us to do. We need him to grant us the compassion of Jesus that we would be moved to draw near and serve those around us who are lost. We need a Christ-focused message so that when we share what we have to share with those around us, we can be confident that it will not return void. We need the Father to draw sinners to Christ, that they would see how precious and beautiful He is. We need the Spirit of God to convict sinners of their sin and make them aware of the coming judgment. We need the Spirit of God to convince the sinner that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one will come to the Father except through Him. We must not look to ourselves, but we must look to the Lord of the harvest to be the Lord of the harvest. We need to cry out to Him if we have any hope of doing anything on behalf of Him in His kingdom. We want God to be glorified in and through us, not in spite of us. With this understanding in mind, you may ask another question as you read this last verse. Why would Jesus ask His disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers? Is this all Jesus expects from us? Is just to simply sit back and pray for someone else to do the work? Well, it is not, brothers and sisters, certainly not. In fact, in chapter 10, the following passage, we see that Jesus sends out these same disciples He's calling to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And so why is He calling them to pray? Well, it is in the process of prayer that we express our humble dependence upon the Lord of the harvest, and we learn to make His desires our desires. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, He taught them to cry out to their Father, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, when we pray like this, we are asking for God's kingdom to be preeminent in all things, first and foremost in our own hearts. Jesus wasn't teaching the disciples to pray for someone else to do their work. He's, again, as I mentioned, going to send them out in the next chapter. He is teaching us to pray like this so that we may be completely dependent upon Him and that we would be prepared to do the work He's calling us to do. We must ask the Lord of the harvest to send us out into the harvest that we may be effective for Him. So some of you may hear this truth and that sounds daunting, that you are a laborer in the harvest. If you belong to Christ, you've been called to participate in this work. Well, I want you to hear this truth and understand and be encouraged. When we look to Jesus and we look at this particular situation, we see these crowds drawing in, we have to ask ourselves, why are they coming? Here's the simple answer. They have either witnessed or they have heard about the words and works of Jesus. They have encountered the Lord of the harvest and they are being drawn to Him. So many times we talk ourselves out of reaching out and sharing the gospel with our family, our friends, our coworkers, because we have our eyes focused on ourselves. But we become blinded to our mission to exalt the name of Christ because we are focused on our own deficiencies. The reality is people are not drawn to Christ because of who we are. They are drawn to Him by the Spirit of God in the proclamation of the gospel. We are called to be witnesses of the words and works of Christ, here revealed in His scripture and how He has worked in your life. You have a testimony of His words and works in your life. We are called to share those things faithfully. It's not about us. It's about our risen King, Jesus Christ. Listen to this passage in 1 Corinthians 2 and tell me if you're not encouraged. We are speaking about Paul, arguably, apart from Christ, the greatest theologian that ever lived, the greatest evangelist that ever lived, the greatest missionary that ever lived. Where does he boast? Where does he place his confidence as he is sharing Christ with others? Well, listen to what he says. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we share, brothers and sisters, we don't want people to be impressed with us. We want them to behold our beautiful God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that he may receive the glory as he works through us by his mighty power. This is what we've been called to do, to place our confidence and trust in Christ as we share his gospel. Brothers and sisters, we have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. Your home is an embassy for Christ. This church is the bride of Christ, and we have been called to him for a specific purpose, to bring God glory and to see others come and join in this beautiful salvation that he has given us. So do not forget our all-encompassing commission that he has given us. Let us pray to God that he would give us an overwhelming heart of compassion for those around us to see him and praise him and glorify him. And let us put our confidence and trust in his work and his gospel to do the work that needs to be done. Brothers and sisters, there are people around us perishing each day, slipping out of this world into everlasting torment. Our beautiful King and Savior is coming back to judge the living and the dead, and no one will stand before him except those who are in Christ. Let us share this truth with those that we know today. Don't let another day pass by without someone around you knowing Jesus and this gospel. The reality is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanks because of your glorious gospel that wretched, broken, worthless sinners such as I and anyone who belongs to you could be redeemed by your precious blood and given life and hope and joy and adoption into your family, God. Lord, help us to be overwhelmed with this truth so much so that we would reach out to any and everyone who would hear and let them know that Jesus saves. The gospel is good news, and I want to tell you about how good and faithful he's been to me. Lord, give us this confidence this day. For your glory and by your power, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Beloved, what a testimony and what a vision. At least once a month, this pulpit reminds the flock, reminds the congregation, what God's plan is to get you to the finish line. That God's grand master plan to provide for our growth, our needs, our friendships, our discipleship, is and always will be the local church. That is the living organism that God has designed to meet the needs of his body. Well, beloved, guess what? Guess what God's master plan is for the Boken camps? To meet those same needs as they prepare to go. Well, you guessed it. It's the local church. It is the local church that will stand with them in prayer. It is the local church that will buttress them and hold them up. It is through the local church that the Lord will provide for the ministry of this family into those very white fields of ministry in the Baja. As they have shared, their first and most critical need is that we commit to prayer for this wonderful family, that we will put that card that they showed you in a place where we will see it. And upon every remembrance of Kirk and his family, that we will lift them up to the Father. And even as we close in worship now, if the Lord has placed on your heart to partner with them and to support them, yes, there are both opportunities to give on a monthly basis to them, which is always welcome, right? Knowing that your monthly needs are met, what a comfort that brings. Or, of course, one-time gifts as well. And as Kirk mentioned, on the back of that card, there is a QR code that will allow you to partner with them. And for those of us that might not be as savvy with cell phones and QR codes and things like that, if you wish to give your traditional way back at the box. We'll make sure that and put Bokenkamp in the memo line. We'll make sure that that gets to them today. Or of course, you can always go online as well. So, beloved, let us close in worship. Please stand.